And Pride celebrations, you may have noticed, they've gone virtual this year across British Columbia, like so much else has. And the rainbow flag, though, was flying high as the symbol of the LGBTQ communities. Pride, though, has not always been so inclusive. Now, as gays and lesbians marched for equal rights with straight people, trans and non-binary groups were often left to stand on their own, something, in fact, that still happens today. And for more on this, we're joined by Aaron DeVore. Now, he is chair in transgender studies at the University of Victoria. He's also the founder and academic director of UVic's Transgender Archives, which is the largest of its kind in the world. Good morning to you, Aaron.
Good morning.
For people who don't know, how long has the term transgender actually been with us?
Well, the term transgender was first coined in a slightly different version by someone named Virginia Prince in the 1970s. However, it was taken over and used in the way we know it now, really got popular in the mid-1990s. So it's not been around all that long.
And we've heard, you know, terms like transsexual or transvestite even in the past. Do they have anything to do with being transgender?
Well, transvestite is the older of the two. It was first coined in 1910 by Magnus Hirschfeld in Germany. Transsexual became popular. It was around a little bit before the 1950s, but it became popular with Christine Jorgensen's story
right.
in the 1950s and then an important book in 1966. So those terms have been around a little bit longer than transgender, and transgender is now used as an umbrella term that encompasses a wide range of gender diversity. And so those older terms are not really used very much anymore, but to the extent that they are still around, they would be encompassed underneath the umbrella of transgender, which is meant to be a more broad term for various kinds of gender diversity and many different identities.
And people who identify with a gender different from their biological sex have always, I mean, been around through human history. Was there, you know, what was it called throughout history?
Well, if you look through the history of the West and you look through cultures around the world, you'll find that there have always been gender diverse people
mm-hmm.
in every culture and every time period. And they all had different ways to talk about it and different ways to understand it. So today you look at indigenous languages, both in North America and all around the world, and they all have their own terms, and it all means something slightly different. And some places have two or three or four different genders, and they incorporate them into their society differently. But this is not a new phenomenon. The word transgender or transvestite or transsexual, I've just given you some history of those. Those are relatively new, but the existence of trans and other kinds of gender diverse people, it's as old as history, it's as old as humanity.
And when I think about indigenous communities, I think of the phrase two-spirited, which we often hear, but you say it goes beyond that.
Well, two-spirit, rather than two-spirited.
Yes, thank you.
Is North American indigenous people agreed on using that term as a broad term that includes some people who identify as trans, some people identify as non-binary, and some people who identify as lesbian, gay, bi, or just two-spirit with no further qualification on it. And that was taken up in 1990 at a meeting in Winnipeg, actually, for North American folks. But there are indigenous people all over the world, and they all have their own languages and their own words and their own nuanced meanings of who that includes and who it doesn't and how they fit into society. So, you know, indigenous is a more generic term that refers to the people who are the original inhabitants of the lands anywhere, and they all have their own way of looking at it.
The LGBTQ rights movement, I guess, bloomed in the 1960s. While that was taking place, while we, you know, were seeing gay men and lesbian women out there, you know, marching for equal rights or an end to discrimination, what role did trans and non-binary people play in that movement?
Well, when you say it bloomed in the 1960s, you're probably thinking of the Stonewall riots that happened in 1969.
Well, right, that followed the riots, I guess.
Yeah, but there were groups that were agitating for rights for people who were then called homosexuals
mm-hmm.
before 1969. And in that time period, and for actually a couple of decades, people who we now call trans and had different terms then as well, in addition to some kind of transvestite, transsexual, but also drag queens and other kinds of words that were used in smaller communities, they were kind of all integrated together as people who didn't fit and who had some kind of difference. And people in general, even today, don't make that much distinction between the idea of who you love and what your gender is, because there's this feeling in society that you're supposed to be a certain way, you're supposed to be heterosexual, and you're supposed to be gender conforming. And if you're not heterosexual, that's also kind of thrown into the same pot as you're not gender conforming. And that's now we make more of a distinction between those two things, but it's not all that clear even today for a lot of people. A lot of people think of trans people as just uber gay. You know, they're just taking the gay thing all the way. But that's not really the way folks who live in that world think of it. So in the early days, trans people were around, but they were considered an embarrassment. Right? So in the early days, a lot of trans rights were people who were saying, we're just like straight people except for who we love. And we're just like white middle class straight people, respectable people, and the only difference about it is who we love. Now, there was an arm of the movement that was, no, no, we're queer, we're different, and we want to be seen as different. But most of them were going for, we're just like everybody else. And for those people, people who were gender nonconforming were a big embarrassment, and they did not want them around because they were working, their existence undermined that message that we're just like straight white middle class people.
And so how do trans and non-binary people now relate to the LGBTQ community and the movement specifically?
Well, there's been a lot of rapprochement that there's been now all the organizations are LGBTQ2+, and sometimes more letters after that. And so there's been a lot of movement past that. There are still sometimes places of friction within any large umbrella movement because, of course, there's a lot of intersectionalities that happen and people have different needs and some folks get left behind still today. And, you know, the more you have ways that you're not like white middle class straight people, the more you're on the margins even of the movement today. And so, you know, there's been a lot of coalescing and there's a lot of effort now to be more inclusive. And there's, I don't think anybody who would say, oh, those trans people are an embarrassment or those non-binary people are an embarrassment. But, you know, there's always differences. And, you know, we've got a lot of attention to racial differences now. And if you compound that with also gender differences, those people are being largely left behind by the mainstream of the LGBTQ movement.
When we see the sort of acceptance of queer people, I suppose, I mean, we see people in positions of power. We see, you know, mayors who are gay. We see members of parliament who are gay. Do we have any such examples of trans people in those positions of power?
Yeah, we do. Trans people are starting to move into more prestigious positions, and, you know, it's slower, of course. But, for instance, in the news that we've had over the last several weeks, there's been a lot of attention to what's going on in Minneapolis after George Floyd was murdered. And the co-chair of the Minneapolis City Council is a black trans woman named Andrea Jenkins. And she was actually out here for one of the conferences that my organization puts on. We had her as a keynote speaker, so I'm very aware of her career. And there are others who have been elected to relatively high offices. The very first was actually Georgina Byers in New Zealand. But you know, people are starting to see some of that happen. But there's still a long way to go. You know, we see one or two people who are able to make that move, but by and large, you know, the vast population of trans, non-binary, and the two-spirit people who fit into that group are being left behind as the rest of society moves along. So, you know, we see progress. We definitely see progress. And I don't want to in any way deny that, but I have to say that there's still really a lot left to be done, especially for those people who are marginalized in a variety of ways.
Aaron, it's great to hear you this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.